Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 3 of the School of Self-Improvement podcast. I am your host, Christina, emotional eating and self-sabotage coach. I'm a qualified nutritionist and health coach, but my mission is to enable women everywhere to move past their fear and self-doubt and achieve success in all areas of their lives. Together, we can help you build that successful business, get paid for your incredible talents, ask for the promotion, apply for the dream job, lose that weight, or achieve anything else you can dream of for your life. Today's episode is about one of my many passions, goal setting. Now, I am a huge fan of setting goals, but often we set the wrong types of goals that keep us stuck. And instead of feeling motivated, they make us feel overwhelmed. Actually, they have the opposite effect of what good goals are supposed to do. Now, I have fallen victim to this myself. So today I'm going to share my top tips and tricks to getting better goals. So my mantra is, get a better goal. And I'm going to shout that, get a better goal. When I see people setting goals that are somewhat kind of, that I feel like they're like spongy. You know, if you push at them and you poke at them, they, you know, collapse a little bit in on themselves. They tend to gather things that are really not part of the essence of them. Very much like a sponge, they absorb things that are in the surrounding environment. We've all touched a soggy sponge, a cold soggy sponge in our lives. And I see so many people whose goals are soggy, wet sponges. Recently, I had been talking to a client of mine who was having issues with her weight loss progress. She was feeling completely stuck, full of resistance, not able to stick to her weight loss plan, not able to stick to her healthy eating goals. And she said to me, Christina, I just cannot seem to make these goals work for me. So I said, right, okay, I have a goal setting workshop that I run once a month, which is free to join, by the way. So I'll leave a link to the sign up in the show notes. I've been teaching goal setting for years in my workshops, in my paid programs, and with other private clients too. So I know what the essence of a good goal is, and I know if a goal is going to enable you to keep going, is going to motivate you and excite you, or if a goal is going to keep you stuck and make you feel like you are never going to get there. So I asked her, okay, write down your top 3 most important goals, the ones that are in the front of your mind every morning when you wake up. They are the ones that keep you going. Now, obviously, weight loss was at the top of her list, and I asked her, okay, let's get specific about that, because I want to lose weight is not a great goal. Okay, for the majority of us, why we're here, we want to lose weight. And it's not a great goal because obviously it's not specific enough. So when you think about weight loss, the first thing you're going to do is think of a number, okay? A number you want to be or the amount of weight you're going to lose. And usually the two are like, they're equal, right? So I'm going to lose this amount of weight to get to this goal weight, or I want to be this goal weight, so I have to lose this amount of weight. But the problem with that is, especially if you have a lot to lose, that goal is going to be a long, long way off. So instead of having a goal that you can easily achieve in 3 months, you've got a goal that might take you 2 years. You can see the difference. If you set a goal that is, all right, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. Yeah, that's a good goal, but it's not a goal that's going to keep you motivated, and it's not a goal that's going to keep you excited to do what you need to do every day to get to that end goal. So I said, right, what we got to do is break it down into milestone goals. So say you want to lose 100 pounds, break it down and break it down into really small chunks, like 5 pounds, 3 pounds, whatever it is that means you will stay motivated and you will stay focused on that goal. I fell into this trap myself when I first started my weight loss journey. I started at 261 pounds, so I had more than 100 pounds to lose. And, you know, thinking about it as one big chunk was quite daunting. And I think the first week that I was really on board with this, I think I lost something ridiculous like 11 pounds. And I thought to myself, oh, this is great, But that means that I have £89 left to lose. Wow, okay, that's huge. That is a huge amount still in front of me. Whereas if I had broken that down into much smaller bite-sized goals and said, okay, well, this week I want to lose £5 and I actually lost 11. Of course, you can see how that frames in your mind. I'm also not a massive, massive fan of saying I want to lose £1 a week, £2 a week, £3 a week, whatever it is, because ultimately you actually don't have any control over that. So instead of framing it like I am going to, maybe frame it as, wouldn't it be wonderful to, and what you're going to do if you don't reach that goal. So if you are the type of person who needs those numbers, you need to say, I'm going to lose £3 this week in order to stay on track, then by all means, set that goal. It's really important that your goals work for you. Get a better goal. If you are, on the other hand, the kind of person who will really react badly if you don't get to your goal and it will really demotivate you, then maybe that those bigger goals are best for you. But still, take the time to set milestone goals. So say if you do have £100 to lose, then maybe set £25 milestones so that when you get to that £25, you do something to celebrate and you acknowledge it as making real progress. Another goal that she had was be a better daughter. I said to her, okay, that's not a great goal because you really don't have very much to track, right? So how do you know when you are being a better daughter? Being a better daughter is the outcome of that goal. So much like weight loss, when you lose the weight, you're going to be healthy. So health is the outcome of the goal. But if you say, I want to be healthier, okay, that's the outcome. But what's the goal? It's not tangible just to say, I want to be healthier. You need to have actual milestones that you can tick off. You need to have metrics that can say, yes, I have achieved this. So much like weight loss, health, be a better daughter. They are great outcomes, but they're not specific enough. So I said to her, okay, what would you imagine a better daughter does? And she thought about it for a minute and she said, well, you know, I think if I called my mum maybe more times during the week, and maybe if I went to see my dad twice a month instead of once a month. And I said, okay, so there are things that we can actually work with. There are goals that we can actually work with to have the outcome of being a better daughter. You can measure this and you can control it and you can achieve it that way. So she set down a goal for being a better daughter was the outcome. And in order to feel like she's being a better daughter, in order to make that goal happen, she had to call her mum 3 times a week and see her dad twice a month for coffee or a breakfast or something. And this made her feel far more in control and much less overwhelmed, because now instead of saying, I just want to be a better daughter, I'm going to try and be a better daughter, she was able to say, I'm going to be able to be a better daughter by taking the following steps. So you can see an actual proven roadmap out in front of you for being a better daughter. And it goes for any kind of goal that you have. If you do not have those defined milestones and measurable metrics, I know I sound like totally corporate speak here, and I used to do achievement metrics myself in my old corporate job. I did so much reporting because our job was not tangible in any other way than seeing reports. So I used to have to do a lot of reports. So things like data, milestones, metrics, all things like that, is words that I am used to using. So apologies if I'm throwing you off a little bit. But when it comes to setting a goal like be a better daughter, there's no way to measure when you've gotten there. Whereas if you say, I'm going to call my mum 3 times a week and I'm going to visit my dad twice a month, or whatever it is that you feel will help you get to the goal, the ultimate goal of being a better daughter, then you have something to work towards and you have something to measure against. And then if you do that, and at the end of that time, whatever time frame you've given yourself to achieve that goal, you don't feel like you're there, then you can adapt it and adjust it and make it work for you so that you can get to that goal. So if I ever come across you making a goal that is not tangible, has no performance metrics and achievement milestones, I'm going to shout at you, get a better goal, get a better goal. Another drawback to not setting better goals is that you can often feel like you are stuck. Now, I deal with these feelings a lot in the Emotional Eating Solution program. We deal with feeling resistance, so not being able to do something because you can't make yourself move forward. You can't make yourself make the steps needed to be able to achieve something or to do something or create something. You just feel massive resistance. And I've worked with women, especially who are starting businesses, and they feel massive, massive resistance. Just a few weeks ago, I was talking to my photographer who took the beautiful photographs that are on my website. If you want to go check them out, I'll leave the link to the website in the show notes. And I was saying to her that, you know, women often will stand in their own way in such amazing ways that you would never have even thought possible. And these feelings of resistance are huge, especially when it comes to feelings of procrastination, imposter syndrome, and perfectionism. Perfectionism is a huge one. And she said to me, you know, Christina, it's funny that I have this portfolio and my portfolio is a couple of years old and I wanted to update it. So I went back and had a look at my little black book of previous clients. I made a list of women to reach out to kind of, you know, get an update on how they were getting on with their businesses and what their websites were like. So she searched for these previous clients' websites on the Google, and a vast majority of them had no website, had not done anything. There was no trace of those beautiful photographs she had taken. And she said to me, working with these women, I got the sense that they needed to have everything perfect, all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted. And I bet that these women are still trying to perfect the business model, still trying to perfect their copy, still trying to perfect their message, and waiting until the moon is in the right phase and their stars are aligned before they can release this to the world. Now, it's not the first time I have heard this story. Another client of mine told me a really incredibly profound story that I'm going to share with you. And she kindly has allowed me to use it in my marketing because it's such an amazing example of how women can hold themselves back. So my client lives in the United States and her mum was a school teacher. And I think she taught high school, can't remember what subject it was. But in the late 90s and early noughties, her mum was tasked with learning how to use things like email, internet. And this would have been in the early noughties when the internet was like a fledgling and we were all starting to use MSN Messenger and go into chat rooms. So the school wanted to teach the children how to use computers because, rightly so, they imagined that computers were going to be very big in these kids' lives when they got into their 20s and were looking to get into a career. So her mom was tasked with this. So she did some classes herself. She got some help from people who knew what they were doing, some of the very early tech people. She learned how to use some of the very early systems and apps and things like that that were available at that time. Now, I'm no expert, so I don't know exactly what was available. So if you imagine it was something like learning how to use email, learning how to use Microsoft Word, whatever it was at the time that was available. So her mother started to put together a kind of a class schedule of what she could teach the children, a lesson plan. And she came up with this really comprehensive guide on how to use the computer, the basics of the computer, everything from turning it on to creating spreadsheets, creating Word documents and things like that. The equivalent of, like I said, I'm not sure exactly what was available at that time, but I am trying to give a third hand story here. So forgive me if I get any of the details wrong in terms of what was available at that time. So her mum throughout the years was really focused on how to teach people who had no idea how to use a computer the very basics to get them started and to be able to competently use a computer, the internet, email, things like that. And her mother had this lesson plan that she really worked hard on, and she reviewed it constantly as the technology was changing. She was changing the lesson plan, and it was extremely comprehensive. And she decided that maybe it would be a good idea if I offered this to private individuals as well outside the school. Maybe I could earn a little bit extra. We all know how well teachers are paid, not just in the United States, but in the rest of the world as well. She saw the potential to be able to earn a little bit extra on the side by teaching friends and neighbors and members of our church and our community how to use a computer. Excellent idea for a side hustle, right? However, she got stuck. She fell victim to perfectionism, and every time she planned to put out flyers to the community and start advertising classes for people who wanted to learn, she would find something that needed to be updated in the lesson plan. She would find something that she wanted to change. She wanted to add something, take something out. And this went on for years. Eventually, she stopped saying that she was going to do this and just continued teaching these high school kids how to use computers. Many, many decades later, when my client's mum had passed away and she was clearing out her house, she came across a box full of these lesson plans broken down bit by bit by bit. And my client realized that actually her mother had created what was basically the ECDL or the IDCL, the International or ICDL, sorry, International Computer Driver's License, Driving License, or European Computer Driving License. It's the basic course that you do on how to use a computer and how to use the systems within a computer, how to create spreadsheets, Word documents, or word processing documents, how to use email, how to use the internet. Her mother had created that before the ICDL was a thing. Now, had her mother got out of her own way and let go of that procrastination, she could have been sitting on a multi-billion dollar idea. She was sitting on a multi-billion dollar idea. An idea that would make enough money to create generational wealth so that her family would be taken care of for a very long time. And the only thing that stood in her way was this persistent perfectionism. So setting goals that actually motivate you and keep you moving forward help to really identify these areas, like this procrastination, or areas where you have imposter syndrome, or areas where you have maybe you are suffering from perfectionism too. The goal of perfecting this course, perfecting this product, kept this client's mother stuck. She was stuck because she had set a goal that was not achievable and it wasn't realistic. There is something that is said again and again in the business community, and it's done, not perfect. I'll say it again, done, not perfect. And you can even apply this to weight loss, to your weight loss goal. So say if your goal is to lose 2-3 pounds in a week and you only lose half that, done, not perfect. I got some of the way towards my goal. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be the exact thing I had my eye on, but moving forward is always better than staying stuck. So how do you set good weight loss goals, better weight loss goals that will keep you motivated? I'm going to share my 7 weight loss goals that I have printed off and I have on my vision board sitting up in front of my laptop, and I see it every day. And this can be applied to anything in your life, not just weight loss. Now, I will write them in the show notes for you. Actually, do you know what I will do now that I think about it? I am going to create a printable for these 7 goals, this 7-point better goal list, let's say. And I'll make it a printable, and you can go down into the show notes, click on the link and download it yourself, print it out and stick it up over your desk or on your mirror or wherever you can see it to remind yourself that done is better than perfect. Number 1, focus on the basics. Number 2, be consistent. Number 3, keep it simple. Number 4, make decisions that are right for me. Number 5, surround myself with like-minded people. Number 6, why not me? And number 7, continue to work on my sabotages. Now, these work really well for me, especially number 6. We can have such massive self-limiting beliefs about what we think we deserve in terms of success. And that is especially pertinent when it comes to things like money and weight loss and how healthy we can be. We have all of these narrowly self-limiting beliefs about what we think we deserve. So by repeating, why not me? Who's going to stop me? I don't need anybody's permission. Why not me? Give me a reason why not. And if your brain comes back with something, you challenge it. Well, where's the truth in that? So continue to say these 7 things to yourself every day. Focus on the basics. Be consistent. Keep it simple. Make decisions that are right for me. Surround myself with like-minded people. Why not me? And continue to work on my sabotages. Now, if you're interested in working more on your sabotages, you can reach out to me to talk to me about my programs to see if one of them is suitable for you. Or you can head over to my website and take one of the free courses. And there's also a replay of a coaching call as well. All of that's over on my website, and I'll leave a link in the show notes so you can go check that out. If you want to work on your goals and you want to learn how to set a better goal, I'm just going to keep shouting that sporadically at people. Then you can go sign up for my monthly goal setting workshop. In this workshop, we not only set goals for the following month, but we also go back over last month's goals that we set and ask questions like, okay, what worked last month that I can bring through to next month? And I think more importantly, what didn't work that I can let go of? We set specific goals. We have a word of the month to keep us motivated. Plus, you get all of the accountability of going back over your own goals and see what you wrote, see what you promised to yourself, see what you said you would do. And we take a good look at, firstly, whether you stuck to it. And secondly, and more valuably, doing more of what works and letting go of what doesn't work for you. It's magic. It's great fun and it's free, completely free. The link to sign up is in the show notes of this podcast. So that's it for episode 3. I hope you enjoyed it. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast. And if there's anything you'd like me to talk about or anyone you would like me to talk to, please feel free to reach out. You can DM me on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, or you can send me an email through my website. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Take care, gorgeous. See you next week.